Okay, can you guys hear me now? Can everybody hear? Okay. Okay, the reason why we're going to talk about shirk is because shirk is a sin that Allah never forgives. And unfortunately, the average Muslim does not understand what shirk truly is. We have Muslims who think that shirk only applies to praying to someone other than Allah. There are different forms of shirk, and there are different categories of shirk. And as a believing Muslim, you have to be aware of all the different forms and all the different categories. Because again, this is the one sin that Allah does not forgive unless you repent before you die for doing it. Okay? So we're going to talk about shirk. And today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to break this down chapter by chapter, so as not to confuse a lot of people, because believe it or not, I have taught this class at this website at least six times. And many of the people who are here have taken the exams at least three times, but they still don't understand shirk, because a situation occurs and a lot of people still are not aware of what the different types of shirk are. So again, I'm going to teach this class again, and this time I'm going to take it chapter by chapter. And today what I'm going to do is first talk about the origins of shirk. The origins of shirk. Where did it come from? And by the way, guys, shirk means to ascribe partners. It doesn't just mean associating partners with Allah. Shirk also means directing any part or any form of worship or anything else that is solely the right of Allah to something other than He. That's the meaning of the word shirk. And I will repeat it. Shirk is directing any part or form of worship or anything else that is solely the right of Allah to something other than Allah. That's the meaning of shirk. And this is why shirk is not just praying to an idol, like people think. Well, the first thing we're going to do for today is go over the origins of shirk. How did this thing come about? Where did it originate? Were we born committing shirk? Is it part of human nature to ascribe to other than Allah? We're going to answer all those questions today, inshallah. First of all, in the beginning, mankind worshipped only Allah. Only Allah. Allah tells us this in the Quran. Allah says in the interpretation of the meaning, mankind was one nation. Then Allah sent prophets bringing good news and warnings. That's Surah Baqarah, the 213th verse. Also, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, has said, between prophets Noah and Adam, there were 10 generations. And all of these 10 generations of people were upon the laws of the truth. They worshipped one God. So then Allah sent prophets. So now, we need to define the difference between a prophet and a messenger. And this is a question that a lot of people ask. What's the difference between a prophet and a messenger? All the messengers were prophets, but not all of the prophets were messengers. And here's the difference. A prophet is a person whom Allah chose to send to the people. He did not have to call the people to worship Allah and His oneness, because the people already worshipped Allah and His oneness. That's what a prophet is. Instead, Allah sent the prophets to the people to reinforce Allah's laws, to keep them in remembrance of Allah's laws, to warn them of Allah's wrath for disobeying His laws. So that's what a prophet is. The difference between a prophet and a messenger is this. A messenger is a person that was chosen by Allah, who was sent to the people to call them back, to call them back to worship Allah and His oneness. So that's the difference. Every messenger was a prophet, but not every prophet was a messenger. And what you need to be aware of is Noah, alayhi salam, was the first messenger sent to mankind. The reason being was because it was during his generation that the people no longer worshipped Allah and His oneness. It was during the generation of Noah, alayhi salam, that the people began to commit shirk. Before Noah, the people worshipped Allah in His oneness. Okay? So you want to know, that's the difference between a prophet and a messenger. Now we have some people, the Christians. The Christians try to teach you that the sons of Adam were fire worshipers. They accuse Cain as being a fire worshiper. This is not true. Again, the fact that Allah states that we were all one ummah, this disputes that. Okay? Also, we have hadiths. Hadiths that also prove this to be incorrect. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said to him, "I created all my servants upon the true religion, upon Tawheed. Then the devils came to them and led them astray from the true religion and made them worship that which I told them not to worship." So here again is a Sahih Hadith that refutes the claim that the Christians had that even Adam's son worshiped fire. And they say it is a part of man's nature to commit shirk. This is not true. It is not part of our nature to commit shirk, because we always worshiped Allah in His oneness, until we allowed Shaitan to interfere. Okay? And there's another hadith that also refutes the claim that mankind commits shirk by nature. And that hadith is this one. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Every child is born upon the fitra, but it is his parents that make him either a Jew or a Christian or a pagan." So this Sahih Hadith, again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that each and every one of us is born in Tawheed. We are born submitting to Allah. We are born in submission to He. It's the parents who make us become a person to associate partners with Him. So again, all of this refutes the claim of the Christians that it's part of our nature to commit shirk. Okay? Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, said, "Recite if you wish that Allah's fitra with which He created mankind, there is to be no change to the creation of Allah." So again, guys, we were not created to commit shirk. This is learned behavior. It's behavior that we've learned from somewhere, from either our mothers, our fathers, or whatever. But shirk is learned behavior. We were not born to commit it. So thus, this takes us to the next question. Okay, if we were not born to commit shirk, then where does shirk come from? Where does it evolve from? And again, Islam has the answer for that too. Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, and they have said, you shall not forsake your gods, nor shall you forsake Wad, nor Suah, nor Yagut, nor Yauk, or Nasir. These were gods that the pagans began to worship. And this is the 71st surah of the Quran, the 23rd ayah. What happened is, these names that Allah is mentioning in this verse of the Quran, these were the first idols that the people began to worship. But before these names became idols, these were men. Wad, Yaguth, these were all pious men who used to believe in Allah and His oneness. But what happened is, when these men died, one day Shaitan came to the people and he said, you know what? Wad was such a good man. Why don't you just build a statue? Erect a statue in his honor to show how much you loved him and how much you miss him. The people listened to Shaitan, so they erected a statue in his honor. But those people did not worship that statue. They just built it in honor of this man, Wad. However, when those people died, it was the next generation, their children. Their children were the ones who began to pray to that statue and thus worship that man. So you want to remember, guys, that the first idol that was ever worshipped with Allah was the idol of Wad, W-A-D-D. This was the first idol ever worshipped alongside with Allah. Okay? Ibn Abbas tells us, he said, indeed, these five names of righteous men were from the people of Noah. When they died, Shaitan whispered to their people to make statues of them and to place these statues in their places of gathering as a reminder of them. And so thus the people did. However, none from amongst them worshipped these statues until when they died. That was when the purpose of the statues was forgotten and the next generation began to worship them. Okay? So that is how shirk began. It began with the people, again, listening to Shaitan, allowing Shaitan to come to them and get them to disobey Allah. And I'm going to tell you guys, this is also the reason why it's haram for us to draw pictures, to make pictures of people, and to make pictures of animals. The reason why it's haram for us to do these things is because, again, these things may lead to you worshiping those things. The same reason as to why we cannot hang a picture of our son on the wall. Because guess what? Your son can be killed in a car accident. Next thing you know, you're sitting up holding on to that picture, crying, lamenting, oh, he was a good one. And next thing you know, you're worshiping him. You're putting flowers around his picture. You're lighting candles All of these things are acts of worship. So this is why Islam prohibits us from building statues and making pictures. Again, Allah makes the rules. He makes the laws that He makes not as a way of punishing us, but a way of protecting us. And this is His way of protecting us from committing the sin, the one sin that He will never forgive, which is worshiping idols alongside with Him. Does everybody understand that? Okay, so that's how shirk originated. So then, this takes us to the next question that people ask. Okay, that's how shirk began. Then why come in my country? Why come you say it's haram for me to read Quran to my dead relatives? Or why do you say it's haram for me to cook food for the dead? When everybody in my country does this, how did shirk get to this level? The answer is very simple. As Islam began to spread outside of Arabia, when the Muslims took Islam into Syria, Egypt, Bahrain, Oman, and all these other countries, the people embraced Islam, but they also brought along with them many of their cultural traditions. When Islam spread through India, many of them embraced Islam, but again, they didn't want to let go of some of their cultural pagan practices. So what they did is they became Muslim, but they also allowed some of their pagan ways to be brought into Islam with them. And that's why we have Muslims today committing shirk, such as praying to dead people, such as cooking food for dead people, such as reading Quran for dead people. These are things they used to do when they were pagans. They used to cook for the dead and offer it on an altar as a sacrifice. Or they used to sit by the dead's grave and recite words of wisdom to them. These are all carryovers. And that's why we have the shirk that we have today in so many so-called Muslim countries. Okay? So thus, these are the origins of shirk. As you can see, we were not born to worship anything but Allah. It's our parents or our environment that teaches us to worship other than He. Okay? So we're going to stop right here for today, because again, I'm going to take this chapter by chapter because I want everybody to be aware of what shirk is. So we're going to stop right here. If you have any questions, you can ask me. And tomorrow, we'll continue with the second chapter, which talks about the different categories of shirk. And we're going to begin with some of those categories tomorrow. So if you have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.